All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, standing here in the confessional corner with you as we continue our look through the Lord's Prayer. This week, the sixth petition, the next to last week here in the Lord's Prayer. And as we begin our look this week, we begin in Luther's Small Catechism. And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. So far, the Small Catechism. As we move over to the Large Catechism, we're on page 420 in Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, looking at paragraph 100. We have now heard enough about what toil and labor is needed to keep all that we pray for and to persevere. This, however, is not done without weakness and stumbling. Although we have received forgiveness and a good conscience and are entirely acquitted, yet our life is of such a nature that we stand today and tomorrow we fall. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, even though we are godly now and stand before God with a good conscience, we must pray again that he would not allow us to fall again and yield to trials and temptations. As he begins, we've heard about the toil and everything that needs to go into daily bread and into the forgiveness of our sins. Not that we toil, but that the toil was done by Christ. And then we see, okay, we are forgiven. We are Christians. We are godly and can stand before God with a good conscience right now. But what about 5 minutes from now? So we pray, lead us not into temptation, that we be guarded and protected so that we may not fall, but knowing that we will because of our sinful human nature. Continue on with paragraph 101. Temptation, however, is of three kinds, of the flesh, of the world, and of the devil. For we dwell in the flesh and carry the old Adam about our neck. He exerts himself and encourages us daily to unchastity, laziness, gluttony and drunkenness, greed and deception, to defraud our neighbor and to overcharge him. Galatians 5:19-21 and Colossians 3:5-8. In short, the old Adam encourages us to have all kinds of evil lust, which cling to us by nature and to which we are moved by the society, the example, and what we hear and see of other people. They often wound and inflame even an innocent heart. So, three kinds of temptation. The flesh, the world, and the devil. We've talked about the flesh. That is typically our lust and desires that lead us to unchastity, laziness, gluttony and drunkenness, greed and deception, the things that give us the things that we want, regardless of what anybody else has. Paragraph 103 says, next comes the world, which offends us in word and deed. It drives us to anger and impatience. In short, there is nothing but hatred and envy, hostility, violence and wrong, unfaithfulness, vengeance, cursing, railing, slander, pride and haughtiness, with useless finery, honor, fame, and power. No one is willing to be the least. Everyone desires to sit at the head of the group and to be seen before all. Luke 14:7-11. When it comes to the temptations from the world, it is that we need to be the best. We can't be second best, we can't be third best, and absolutely not be last. When Jesus tells us that if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, we have to be the least of all and the servant of all. That is not the way the world works. The world wants to say that you need to be on top, otherwise you have failed. That is the temptation of the world, that you are a failure because you have not achieved some goal. And that goal continues to shift. That is part of the railing and slander, pride, haughtiness, and the finery, honor, and fame, and all of that that it uses to entice you. Everything moves out of the way once you get there. And as with the idea of how much money is enough money, just a little bit more. And then it's a little bit more after that, and after that, and after that. That is the temptation of the world. Now we come in paragraph 104 to the temptation of the devil. Then comes the devil, pushing and provoking in all directions, but especially he agitates matters that concern the conscience and spiritual affairs. He leads us to despise and disregard both God's word and works. He tears us away from faith, hope, and love, and he brings us into misbelief, false security, and stubbornness. Or on the other hand, he leads us to despair, denial of God, blasphemy, and innumerable other shocking things. These are snares and nets, 2 Timothy 2:26. Indeed, real fiery darts that are shot like poison into the heart, not by flesh and blood, but by the devil, Ephesians 6:12 to 16. All right, here comes the devil, the chief adversary, the great thing that we have to look out to, because his attacks focus on the conscience and spiritual matters, and it can go either way. Temptations to either see that you have overcome. Oh, see, look how good you were doing. God must really be pleased with you. Or the other hand, leading you to despair and great shame because he says, yep, you did it again, didn't you? You promised you would never, ever do it again, and yet you did again. How could God ever forgive you, really? I mean, he says he forgives you, but you keep doing the same thing over and over. That's the temptation of the devil, either to puff you up at pride or to mash you into the ground. That is his wrestling. You're either up in the air or you're ground into the mat. Picking up in paragraph 105. Great and grievous indeed are these dangers and temptations which every Christian must bear. We bear them even though each one were alone by himself. So every hour that we are in this vile life, we are attacked on all sides, 2 Corinthians 4:18 or 4:8, chased and hunted down. We are moved to cry out and to pray that God would not allow us to become weary and faint, Isaiah 40:31 and Hebrews 12:3, and to fall again into sin, shame, and unbelief. For otherwise, it is impossible to overcome even the least temptation. That is the problem. Without Christ, you cannot overcome even the least temptation. This then is what lead us not into temptation means. It refers to times when God gives us power and strength to resist the temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. However, the temptation is not taken away or removed. While we live in the flesh and have the devil around us, no one can escape his temptation and lures. It can only mean that we must endure trials, indeed be engulfed in them, 2 Timothy 2:3. But we say this prayer so that we may not fall down and be drowned in them. When we say, lead us not into temptation, we are not saying, and God is not promising, that he will take away the temptation. He will take away the trial. He gives us the strength to endure it. We pray so that we may not fall and drown in our own sorrows and in the temptations. Paragraph 107. To feel temptation is, therefore, a far different thing from consenting or yielding to it. We must all feel it, although not all in the same way. Some feel it in a greater degree and more severely than others. For example, the young suffer especially from the flesh. Afterward, when they reach middle life and old age, they feel it from the world. But others who are occupied with spiritual matters, that is, strong Christians, feel it from the devil. Such feeling, as long as it is against our will and we would rather be rid of it, can harm no one. For if we did not feel it, it could not be called a temptation. But we consent to it when we give it the reins and do not resist or pray against it. So here we have the three sources of temptation again and three ages of life where they are seemingly the most powerful. The young, it's the flesh. That is, look around on social media. There is so much out there appealing to the flesh and the desires and pleasures of the flesh out there, regardless of what it is. It's all about what you can see, what you can do, all of these things. Then when we get to midlife and to old age, pride starts taking over. All the things that we have done in our lives, our accomplishments, what we have built up, what we have owned, those become the things that bring us temptations. And then those of us who are considered strong Christians, that are involved especially in spiritual matters, they get it from the devil. You know, the ones especially like Luther, who talks about having wrestled with the devil in his trials, especially at the Diet of Worms, where he asks for a day to consider because he could not bring himself to say, I shall not recant on the first day because of fear, because of what the devil had been saying was going to happen to him. This is temptation. We feel it as long as we are in the flesh, and we feel it in different ways. We feel it to different degrees based on life, based on age, based on gender, based on all kinds of things. But temptation is something that no human being is without. Even Jesus was tempted, as we hear in the readings from Matthew 4 for the first Sunday in Lent, as we talk about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness by the devil. Again, temptations that he felt, temptations that he endured, but temptations that for you and for me, he did not succumb to, he did not yield to. All right, we finish up beginning in paragraph 109. Therefore, we Christians must be armed, Ephesians 6, and daily expect to be constantly attacked. No one may go on in security and carelessly, as though the devil were far from us. At all times, we must expect and block his blows. Though I am now chaste, patient, kind, and in firm faith, the devil will this very hour send such an arrow into my heart that I can scarcely stand. For he is an enemy that never stops or becomes tired. So when one temptation stops, there always arises another and fresh one. So there is no help or comfort except to run here. Take hold of the Lord's Prayer and speak to God from the heart like this. Dear Father, you have asked me to pray. Do not let me fall because of temptations. Then you will see that the temptations must stop and finally confess themselves conquered. If you try to help yourself by your own thoughts and counsel, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil more space. For he has a serpent's head, Revelation 12:9. If it finds an opening into which it can slip, the whole body will follow without stopping. But prayer can prevent him and drive him back. What is our battle against temptation? What do we have on our side? We have prayer. We have the prayer of lead us not into temptation. We have the prayers of God, I'm struggling with this. Please help me endure this and not fall into it. Or afterwards, after falling into temptation, we say, God, I really messed up again. I need you to forgive me and strengthen me so that I do not do this again. Now, granted, that may also be like praying for patience and God give you something that really causes you to exercise your patience that you didn't know you had. But it may bring further temptations from the devil, not from Jesus, not from God, because God tempts no one, but bringing you extra that you may endure. But in endurance, you gain the strength to continue to wrestle. And I hope that has helped you with this podcast, that you are strengthened to know that, yes, the temptations that come to you are natural. They are normal in this fallen world, and they will continue to come as long as you draw breath. But again, as long as you draw breath, you have recourse to the Lord's Prayer and to God Himself in prayer to help you to withstand the temptation. That he won't take it away, but he will give you the way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13, so that you may know that you are his and that he is taking care of you. Amen.